Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome one and all to the greatest wrestling podcast on the internet, presented by ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and WrestleNigma.com. Welcome, everybody, to the Spoilers Podcast. My name is Ben Gartland, and I'm here with my awesome co-host, Gray Matthews. What's going on, man?
How's it going, Ben? Doing great today. Ready to discuss the week in wrestling, including this past week's episode of Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown from last night, and everything else going on in the world of wrestling.
Definitely hope everyone had a good 4th of July out there, all of you Americans, and for all of you foreigners, I hope you had a good Thursday. Very good week in wrestling, Money in the Bank coming up in 8 days from tonight. It's going to be pretty good. Let's get started with Monday Night Raw results. Daniel Bryan comes out to start the show and talks about Randy Orton and talks about if he can ride his wave into Money in the Bank. Randy Orton comes out and talks about how long he's been championing everyone else, but then that ladder match comes out, talks about the ladder match, and then we get a highlight video for Buddy Rogers and World Heavyweight and for Luffy, because they were going to have Junkin' with Alberto Rio, and that's the beginning of the show. That's in after the main event. And then our first match is The Shield versus Christian and the Usos. The Shield win this one after Ambrose gets a roll-up on Christian. Then we have Dolph Ziggler versus Jinder Mahal. Dolph Ziggler wins this one with Zigzag out of nowhere. We have Kane and Randy Orton. Kane wins this one. After Kane gets a pin, Fandango versus Sheamus. Sheamus wins by countout after Fandango leads. Then we have Ryback versus The Miz. The Miz wins this one. Then we have CM Punk and Curtis Axel versus the Primetime Players. CM Punk and Curtis Axel win this one after Curtis Axel comes in, steals the tag from Punk, steals the pin on Darren Young after Punk is the GTS. So we have Alicia Fox versus Caitlyn. Caitlyn, the winner in this one. Cody Rhodes versus Antonio Cesaro. Antonio Cesaro wins this one after Damian Sandow distracts him. Then we have John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio. John Cena wins this one. And then after the match, Mark Henry grabs the WWE title belt, acts like he's going to charge Cena, but doesn't. And he makes Cena jump and just laughs at him. And then Raw goes off the air with two of them staring each other down, and we get a promo for the Wyatt family, who's going to be debuting in 2 days. So, Graham, what were your thoughts on the show and going into the last Monday Night Raw from Monday Night?
I don't think it was as great as a show as the last two weeks were, but I don't think it was all that bad. A lot of people are saying it was a terrible show. I don't think it was all that bad at all. We got good hype for the Wyatt family coming up next week, as well as the evaluation for the job of Vicky Guerrero. Not really looking forward to all much of that, but the family should be great. The fact that they closed the show with one of their vignettes was truly amazing. Did not see that coming. Hopefully they have big plans for the Wyatt family next week. As for the rest of the show, they had solid hype for the Money in the Bank ladder match and the event overall. An event I'm highly anticipating. A lot of strong matches on the card next Sunday. They did good hype between Daniel Bryan and Kane and Orton's match with Kane early on in the evening. They had a solid main event with Del Rio taking on John Cena in a match, in the champion versus champion match that actually felt prestigious. Usually we're just given these champion versus champion matches that are just thrown on television for just random reasons. However, over the course of the night, they aired vignettes promoting each championship, showing the lineage, the prestige, the history of both the world title and the WWE title, which was great to see. Made the main event feel much more meaningful and worth watching. So that was a great match between Del Rio and Cena. Overall, I thought it was a very enjoyable show. Hopefully they have good hype for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view on next week's Raw, or 2 nights from now on Monday Night Raw. And it looks like they're set for the Money in the Bank pay-per-view next Sunday.
Definitely. I really liked all of the different videos of all of the WWE champions and World Heavyweight. We saw some names and some videos that we didn't really expect to see. Hulk Hogan being one of them. He's currently a TNA Sting for the World Heavyweight Championship, one of them. Ric Flair, although he's now back with WWE and everything, but it was really, really well done for, and where John Cena is, I would say, one of the more prestigious WWE champions because he's held it so many times, because he's held it for so long and what he's done over his career. But then he takes it over to Del Rio, who's been in the company for 4 years now. And I think he's been one heavyweight champion twice, and neither of them have been overly memorable reigns. So I thought that it was almost a bit of overhyping the match, but the match still ended up doing very well. Now, one thing I really want to start off talking about is Vicky Guerrero and the Raw General Manager job. They're going to have a job evaluation with Stephanie McMahon and everything next week, and Vicky Guerrero will either get fired or she'll get a permanent general manager job. And based on Stephanie's reactions last week, it doesn't look like Vicky's going to be in that position much longer.
I hope not, personally, because I never wanted Vicky Guerrero in this position to begin with. She's run her course as general manager. She was GM for SmackDown for a number of years back in 2007, 2008. She was GM of Raw at one point a few years ago. So bringing her in as the supervisor or whatever it was role last October, and it's lasted this long, surprises me. But I think we need to get her out of this role and back to that manager role for someone who needs it, maybe for someone that needs some mic skills help. I don't know, but whatever it is, you can keep Brad Maddox. He's fine in that role. I think he's enjoyable in the authority figure position. I don't see him really succeeding as a wrestler at this point in time, so having him in that role is fine. But they need to move Vicky Guerrero almost immediately. Who they have replace her? Like I said before, maybe you have Brad Maddox replace her in the permanent position. Maybe you bring in someone else. I'm not sure. But I think also when they do the evaluation on Monday, I was thinking about this during Raw this past week. But let's think about the last two evaluations that we've had on Raw. Last January, when John Laurinaitis was about to be fired by Triple H during his job evaluation, we had The Undertaker return. This past January, when we had the job evaluation of Paul Heyman, we had Triple H, you know, we had Brock Lesnar return and attack Mr. McMahon. This upcoming Monday night, we have the job evaluation of Vicky Guerrero, where the McMahons will be present. Will this be the debut spot of the Wyatt family? I'm not sure, but I think it could be a great moment for them to debut and potentially attack either the McMahon family or maybe abduct one of them, maybe abduct Stephanie or Vicky. I'm not sure, but I think that might be the place where the Wyatt family might debut on Monday night.
If they're going to abduct anyone, I think it's going to be Triple H, just because while abducting Vince, he is obviously the most senior, and he pretty much built the company. Most of the fans know him as the leader. He's this frail old man now. They abduct him. It's like, oh, well, he's a frail old man. They abduct Stephanie. I think that'd be more beneficial to their character if they abduct Stephanie, because she is the wife of Triple H, because she's the daughter of Vince McMahon. But I think if they abduct Triple H, he's seen that. I mean, what he just went through, a big match with Brock Lesnar, he's still seen as someone who can fight his way out of the situation. I think that they look a lot more legitimate if they abduct Triple H. Or they could just go out of the blue and abduct Linda or Shane. But I don't think either of them want to be back on television again. So, but
I would love to see Shane back, yeah.
Oh, Shane would be great. But I think his days on television are done. But one thing that I've really noticed this past Monday Night Raw, and as much as I loved Stephanie back in the day, those segments with Vicky were painful. I don't know what's up with her. It just seems so forced. It's like Stephanie lost everything that made her awesome back in the day when she was a prominent figure in the general manager role.
Well, they have been terrible segments since the get-go. I mean, I've never really understood this angle or the direction that's supposed to be taking. It started back on the June 3rd edition of Raw last month, and it's been going full force since that point in time, and I don't know what the end angle is, what the end game for this entire storyline will be. Recent reports have indicated that this storyline is headed towards the top storyline for WrestleMania 30 next year. Will it be dragged out every single week until then? I hope not. The McMahons, I think we talked about this a few weeks ago, but the McMahons appearing on television used to be a special thing, since they used to be every once in a while. They used to be for important storylines, but now you see Vinnie Mac backstage just doing irrelevant things every week. Same thing with Triple H and Stephanie. I don't want to see Triple H versus Vince McMahon at WrestleMania or at SummerSlam or whatever they have planned. Someone suggested maybe you do a four corners match or a triple threat match with representatives, with maybe someone representing each McMahon. You can do it like that, but, I mean, that's been done before. I mean, I'll bet it was a decade ago that it was done at WrestleMania with The Rock, Big Show, et cetera, et cetera. But even still, I mean, these segments, like you said, are painful to watch. I don't know what the end storyline is. Maybe that's a good thing that we don't know what's coming, but even still, if it's headed towards a Triple H, Stephanie, or Vince heel turn, I don't care for it whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I've heard of is USA was a bit worried about the normal dip in ratings that WWE sees in the summer post-WrestleMania. So they really, and they noticed that McMahon's equal ratings, so they've been pushing WWE to put the McMahon's back on television. And when you look at it that way, it makes sense because the WWE's just pushing them into segments where they don't do anything to mess up any of the other storylines. They just have their own little subplot, and it doesn't make too much of a difference. So that's where I could see what they're doing. I'm not sure if they really even have a plan for them, if maybe they're just there and they're making people think that they're leaving them. It's just USA Network is pushing them, pushing the McMahon to be on TV because they want more rage.
Well, that is a possibility. The ratings have shown in the last month that they haven't done anything to increase the ratings. I know they were brought in on the June 3rd edition of Raw that I attended about a month ago. It was on a night that they were having some sort of finals, maybe for hockey, maybe I think it might have been basketball, but whatever that night was, they brought in the fans to equal ratings for the show, in which it didn't because it was such a big event that was going on that night. And then in subsequent weeks, they brought back the McMahons, and I don't think there was really a big change in the ratings. And still to this day, this past Monday night, I don't think there was a big rating. I think it was just below the 3.0 mark. So I don't think that's the reason, because if it was the reason, they would have pulled the plug on it a long time ago. And if that is the reason, if it's bringing them in for ratings and they don't have an end storyline for them, then that's bad booking, because it's a waste of time. I mean, it's not a huge angle. It's just ruining the entire show. It's a small thing, and it's fine in small doses, but if they are overexposed on the course of the show like they have been in the last few weeks, it's just starting to become unbearable. And again, hopefully it takes a step in the right direction next week with the Vicky Guerrero evaluation, and then they have either someone else take over Raw, maybe Triple H, who was in charge of Raw a few years ago, or Stephanie or Vince. I'm not sure, but, you know, with Vicky and Brad and in charge of Raw right now, it makes no sense anyway because no one believes they actually have power within the WWE. So getting rid of both of them would be just fine with me and just putting the McMahons in charge since they are in charge of reality anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I really hope that they have something planned. This is the WWE we're talking about. It'd be very irresponsible of them not to have something planned, so I'm pretty sure that they do. I just hope that it's not it's not another Hornswoggle with the bastard son and all that. I hope it's not another storyline like that. I hope it's something actually reasonable that it's worth waiting for and worth not knowing what's going on. Because if it's not, then, like you said, it's just wasting time with these pointless segments.
Exactly. If it was something along the lines of another Hornswoggle storyline, I would surely hope not. But the reason with those angles was that it was usually a mystery person, or it was something that we were waiting for, like we were waiting for the anonymous Raw general manager. And thankfully, this doesn't really have that kind of mystery around it. I mean, we're just kind of wondering why they're doing this, but there really is no person that we're waiting to be revealed or as of right now. But even still, if it was something along those lines where they just throw some shitty reveal at the end, and I'm not a fan of it whatsoever, and hopefully they blow it off soon, because I don't wish it to continue on any point forward if they have no endgame for it.
Yeah, definitely. So I hope they have something. And going back to the general manager position, I'd be okay with having Brad Maddox be the general manager going forward. He's got the mic skills. He's an enjoyable character to watch. He's an enjoyable character to hate. He's good at what he does, and I think instead of trying to bring back some of these old general managers like they have been doing in the past couple of years that they've brought back, Biggie when they brought back Paul and everything. I think bringing in a fresh face to be the general manager, it will be something that will benefit the WWE down the line, because if they're in this situation, 10 years from now, well, no, they have another face to bring back if needed. Or they've got this guy who can stay in this position for a few years, provide some consistency at the general manager level. And you know what? Back in Ruthless Aggression days and everything, when Mick Foley, Shawn Michaels, they were in those roles, it was entertaining. And where Vicky has been entertaining at points, she hasn't really been lately. And I think you need to have someone in that role who can be an entertaining person. I think Brad Maddox could be that person. And I'd be very happy if they put in Brad Maddox. I'd be very happy if they put in Regal, who used to be the general manager, and we haven't seen him as general manager since, what, 2006, I think it was? Something like
2008.
That.
2008.
Yeah, 2008. So, but still about 5 years ago, it'd be nice to see him back just to get another fresh face instead of seeing who we've seen over the past 3 years. So I'm hoping whatever they do with it, that they book it well. Even if they do keep Vicky, I hope they have something creative for her where it's something that she's never done before in all the years that she's been Raw and SmackDown GM. And really, that's all I want. I want something that's fresh that we really haven't seen before out of the general manager position.
Well, you mentioned before how Mick Foley was entertaining in the role of Raw general manager. And while that is true, that was during a point in time when the general managers used to mean something. Remember when the brands used to mean something? So the control over the show used to mean something. Now that the brands are now together, so to speak, and the brands, there's really no brand extension. That's why the general managers don't serve a purpose, and they kind of devalue the position of the general manager, especially when the McMahons overrule every single one of their divisions or decisions every week on Raw. So that's why I'd rather see it abolished and have the McMahons take over. But like you said, if they have a fresh face like Brad Maddox, primarily in that role, I know he's in it kind of right now, but he's not the sole center of it. Vicky Guerrero is. So if they were to get rid of her and bring in Maddox instead and help get him over and get some heat for eventually when he transitions into a wrestler, then, yeah, I'd love to see that. But, I mean, like I said before, the GMs haven't meant anything since the brand extension died. So that's why it really serves no purpose at this moment. I mean, Booker T isn't even on television at the moment. He's currently injured. Vicky Guerrero and Brad are getting their decisions overruled every week by the McMahon. So just either abolish it or just, you can't bring back the brand extension. So, I don't know, just have the McMahons take over or just overrule the entire system, because right now it's just not working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I really liked back in a few years ago when you had the three separate brands, Raw, SmackDown, and ECW, you would have the WWE draft, you would have the Bragging Rights pay-per-view, and that was kind of where it started to die anyway, but you had the Bragging Rights pay-per-view where Raw and SmackDown fought, and they had that Bragging Rights trophy, and where the general managers would kind of fight up against each other to get the big stars. I can remember an angle back a few years, or more than a few years ago now, where it was all exciting on SmackDown because Stephanie McMahon had brought over Kurt Angle from Raw, and, well, that was a big deal. That was a big storyline, and that's something that's kind of lacking for the WWE, and I'd like to see it brought back. But then again, I kind of also like the combination of the two brands. Now you've got two shows for both, for the same, or rather, sorry, let me go back. I completely flubbed that line. I'd like it now where you have two shows to get all the storylines out. And that way they can delve deep into storylines and really make good in-depth storylines. Like with CM Punk going on Raw and SmackDown this week, that increases his entry going into Money in the Bank. Both formulas work in some aspects, and both formulas lack something in some aspects. So I'm not sure which one is better. I'm not sure which one I like better. Which one do you like better?
I like it as the brand separate simply because I love the WWE draft. When I first became a fan in April 2008, the WWE draft that they held 2 months later in June was one of the first events that they had seen on television. So I've always been a fan of the WWE draft, and of course it's scripted and whatnot, and you can kind of tell who's going where, but it was always exciting. It was something always unpredictable. So I missed that aspect of the brand extension and having one wrestler exclusive to one brand, and then when they appeared on the other show, then it was one big appearance, or when the shows were feuding. I mean, it was back in 04, 05, when the shows were feuding, and that was a big thing, and a big rivalry between the two brands. So I kind of like that one a little bit more. I definitely see what you mean as this one's kind of beneficial as well, the way it is now with the end of the brand extension, where you have exposure for some wrestlers on both brands. Cena's not dominating both Raw and SmackDown. He's primarily exclusive to Raw. But like you mentioned, when you have a guy like CM Punk, one of the biggest stars in the company, make a rare appearance on SmackDown, it makes it feel special. And not only that, too, both Raw and SmackDown in recent months, I mean, the brand extension's been over for the last 2 years now, but in recent months, following WrestleMania, SmackDown has been extremely entertaining and has been the show to watch for the last 2.5 months now. So the end of the brand extension, I think, has done SmackDown justice. In recent months, you've got guys like The Shield, Daniel Bryan, you have Dolph Ziggler, you have CM Punk, y'all main eventing Friday Night SmackDown in recent weeks, or in recent months, I should say. Raw is also becoming more entertaining in recent months with a lot of suspenseful storylines. Then they have those up-and-coming stars over on the SmackDown side appear on there and get kind of a warm-up match, so to speak. So I'm fine with the way it is right now. At some points, it can be overkill, like when they do matches on SmackDown and then they do a rematch 3 days later on Raw. I don't like when that happens because it makes SmackDown feel irrelevant. But aside from that, the way it is right now, I'm fine with it. But me personally, I do like the brand extension more.
Yeah, that's understandable. I do like the brand extension a lot. But like I said, I like both of them a lot. You can do a lot with both of them. So I just hope right now that it doesn't become like back when SmackDown first debuted, when Rock and Stone Cold were dominating both shows. I hope it never becomes that again. I really like the formula back when I first started watching wrestling back in 2006, 2007, around that time where John Cena ran Monday Night and Shawn Michaels, Randy Orton, everyone was on that side. And then you had SmackDown. Undertaker ran that one. Batista was up there. And who else was up there? There was King Booker. He was a bigger star back then on SmackDown. So you had two separate brands. And then, of course, you also had ECW. And then they all came together for the pay-per-views. And I kind of liked that a lot because the only time they really came together was on pay-per-views, and when another star went to, when a star from Raw went to SmackDown, it was a big deal. Like when The Undertaker won the Royal Rumble and showed up on Raw, and Jared Johnson and we showed up on ECW and Bobby Lashley, it was a big deal because they really didn't stray much from their brands. And I like that one better. That's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, exactly. And also this aspect of it, too, when the brand extension started to die off, 2010, 2011, that was at a point in time when there was not a lot of star power within the WWE. You had guys like Batista, Shawn Michaels, Edge, Undertaker taking more time off. So many stars, so many top stars were departing the company that they couldn't really hold up the SmackDown side. You remember back in the 2010 draft, SmackDown was absolutely destroyed, and they had no star power on that show whatsoever. 2011, everyone that was drafted that year practically switched over to the other show without having been drafted, so that kind of hurt the prestige of the draft, too. So that was one of the reasons why it was gotten rid of. But even still, now they have so much star power right now on the roster. They've built up so many stars, which I commend WWE for. You got guys like The Shield, you have Ryback, Fandango, another rising star in the WWE. There's so many fresh faces in the WWE right now that you can, I believe, separate them back into two different rosters. You have Dolph Ziggler, you have Daniel Bryan, those guys can be dominating the SmackDown side. Of course, Triple H and T will always be taking time off, But John Cena, you can have CM Punk over on the Raw side. Big Show, Kane, Jericho, Rob Van Dam's coming back pretty soon too. There's so many top stars in the WWE right now that they all can't be occupying Monday Night Raw. That being said, I think it could be time to bring back the brand extension and help the SmackDown side and make some guys exclusive to the Blue brand. I mean, do I see it happening anytime soon? Probably not, because they want ratings for SmackDown, so that's why they bring guys like Punk over to kind of boost the ratings for SmackDown, because they got their lowest rating of the year a few weeks ago. So that's probably why they brought Punk over to the Blue brand last night. But even still, I don't see it going away anytime soon. Like, I don't see the three-hour Raws going away anytime soon either. And that's not an unfortunate thing, but even I would love to see the brand extension back at some point, especially given all the star power that we now have.
Yeah, definitely. I actually like to see if they're ever looking for a big shakeup again is to take the talent pool and re-separate it. Send Randy Orton to SmackDown. Send CM Punk to SmackDown. Send some of the bigger stars to SmackDown and have equal power distributed amongst both shows. And then you're going to get people to watch both shows. One thing that they've done in the past week, in the past couple of years is they've really built up Raw as the A show and SmackDown is the B show, where I kind of like to see them equal again. So, I don't know. I think as long as Raw is live and SmackDown is taped, SmackDown will always be the B show, but if they ever find a way to make SmackDown go live again, I'd like to see an equal distribution of star power on both rosters.
I would love to see it go live, even if it was on, not really if it was on Tuesdays, actually, because if they have the pay-per-view, if they have a three-hour pay-per-view on Sunday, a three-hour Raw on Monday, and then a two-hour SmackDown on Tuesday, that could be overkill, but I would love to see it live on Friday night. I think that could be very beneficial. That could help the ratings, too, because there's not any spoilers where people won't have to read spoilers, and they'll be forced to watch this show for the results. Like I said before, SmackDown has been extremely entertaining in the last 2 to 3 months, so I think if there's any time to go live on a weekly basis, I think it should be now. Like you said, it's always going to be the B show until it goes live. Will it be the A show at that point? Maybe not, but I think it's definitely going to help it. Raw's always been looked at as the entertainment show where the storylines are built, where all the star power is, whereas SmackDown has always been the wrestling show. Not always, I mean, it usually was in its earliest run, but also has been in the last few months as well. You've got great matches, like with The Shield taking on Daniel Bryan, Kane and Randy Orton a few weeks ago. That's where The Shield streak was snapped. Their seventh-month streak in singles competition undefeated was snapped on SmackDown a few weeks ago and barely went unnoticed on Raw, too. So that's why they need to draw more attention to the SmackDown side. Need to do more promoting for the Blue brand. Definitely, like you said, make it equal again, because right now it's more the wrestling show. Raw's more entertainment. I'm entertained by both shows. But like you said, making SmackDown live on a weekly basis is the key factor in making it look like an equal to Raw.
Yeah, definitely. And well, one thing that they could do is if TNA starts making waves in ratings, if they ever start going up against WWE, could move SmackDown to live Thursday nights, go head to head with TNA just to try and draw some viewers if Impact ever starts becoming a threat.
That's a possibility too. I mean, that's only if TNA ratings go up, and I doubt they're going to bring up anytime. I mean, they've been going live for about a year now, and they went on the road just recently, and they do live shows, not every week now, but they do them every other week since they tape two shows in one location. But I see what you're saying, though. I mean, Thursdays, Fridays doesn't matter, since they used to have superstars on Thursdays, I believe, but then that's been gotten rid of. So I guess you could go Thursdays if you wanted to. But, I mean, again, even if it's just sabotage, or if it's just for Thursdays, I don't think it matters, because WWE doesn't get two shits about TNA anyway, and there's no competition in the ratings whatsoever. But, Thursdays, Fridays, doesn't matter, as long as it's live. But Tuesdays are definitely no, especially with the three-hour Raws and the three-hour pay-per-views. But Thursdays or Fridays would be great for me.
Yeah, I think the difference between Thursday and Friday is huge. There's a reason that all the networks have their big shows, like all the four major networks, ABC, NBC, et cetera, they have their big shows on Thursday. That's when the biggest ratings come in because people aren't going out on Thursdays like they are going out on Fridays to celebrate the weekend. You move it to Thursday, you're going to have a bigger audience than you are going on a Friday. Now, because most people aren't introverts who stay home on Friday nights like I am and watch SmackDown, a lot of people go out. You move to Thursday, most people are watching TV that night, they must have on SmackDown. So I don't see a necessity for WWE to move it now or even in the near future, but that's always a possibility if TNA ever starts being a threat or if they ever need some more ratings.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, I think going live on Thursdays would be great. I'm not sure what the rating scale was when they were on Thursdays from 99 to 2005 when they switched. Obviously, it was a lot bigger than it was now since the ratings have since decreased a hell of a lot since then. Even still, do you know why they went from Thursdays to Fridays? I can't recall the reason.
I don't know. They probably just didn't want to do two shows. Was it live between 99 and 2005? Or was it taped?
I think it might have been taped. I don't think it was ever live. I mean, it maybe have been in the earlier days, but I mean, in 2005 and in 2000, I don't think it was ever live on a weekly basis, as far as I know.
Well, let me head to the ever-reliable Wikipedia and try and find this out. But while we're on the subject, CM Punk comes to SmackDown yesterday. And what was just kind of your basic thoughts on that?
The show overall or CM Punk's appearance in the show?
Well, the show overall and CM Punk.
Well, SmackDown as a whole yesterday, I think, was better than Raw. I really enjoyed it. They had some good matches. Randy Orton versus Christian. We haven't seen that match since late 2011. Their epic feud from the summer of 2011, my favorite feud of all time, at least in recent memory. So a great match from those two. Main event, CM Punk versus Del Rio. Those two always work well together. We had some regression in the storyline of CM Punk and Paul Heyman, which is great to see. So SmackDown is a show to watch. It's not like it's completely irrelevant. Things do progress on the show. They had that with CM Punk and Paul Heyman on Friday night. They also had a good segment between Punk and Del Rio to kick off the show. We also had Dolph Ziggler cut his first promo as a babyface on television, which is cool to see. So he's explaining his new babyface persona. There were a lot of things to like about last night's show, and also did a nice job of building towards the Money in the Bank card as well. So, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed the show. CM Punk's appearance did indeed feel special. They had him open the show as well as close the show. So we could see more one-off appearances more often. Maybe from someone like John Cena, who made a few one-off appearances late last year but has yet to appear on the Blue Brand in 2013. They had The Rock, remember, on there a few months ago on the road to WrestleMania, which was shocking to me but also pleasantly surprising. So hopefully they can do more one-off appearances. And also they did The Undertaker a few months ago too. So, having CM Punk appear on the show on Friday night was great. Overall, really enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm. And I have an answer to why SmackDown moved. Spike TV was not happy with the ratings that they were getting on Thursday, so they moved it over to UPN on Friday night, and UPN actually got some good ratings. But this line actually says it moved to the Friday night death squad, in quote-unquote, which is what they call a show, which is broadcast from 8 to 11, which is apparently destined for cancellation. So I guess good on SmackDown for surviving in that Friday night slot. But, yeah, so I'm not sure what actually happened, which causes ratings to decline with Spike back in 2005. And they've been on Fridays ever since.
Wasn't Raw on Spike, too, or was that? Yeah, it was Spike, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I guess Raw and SmackDown were moved from the network, I guess, in 2005. But yeah, I mean, I guess it should move back to Thursday at this point. So yeah, I would love, you know, this too, I think, also plays a factor. SmackDown, I understand that Sci-Fi is underneath the NBC umbrella or whatever, and that's why they're, you know, cross promotion or whatever. But I don't understand the point in having a wrestling show on Sci-Fi. I understand they had ECW there and that never had huge ratings anyway, so it didn't bother me, but having SmackDown on there doesn't make much sense. I would much rather see it on the USA Network. Have both Raw and SmackDown on there. I think it can make the USA Network even better. And even if it was taped, I mean, just move the network. Maybe, you know, just play with it and see if it gets a big rating or not. I know they did a special, their last special in the last week or so of 2012 of last year. They had a live special on the Tuesday following DLC, and it did a pretty good rating from what I understand. So if they were to move to the USA Network, that's another thing they could try doing. Just from Sci-Fi, which doesn't make much sense as a network. I mean, nothing against Sci-Fi. It doesn't feel like a wrestling network. That's all.
Definitely. And my thing is, they really wanted to get out of CW, because I don't think CW was doing any good for SmackDown. And they were just looking for a show, and NBC says, hey, we've got Sci-Fi, that's open, and that's pretty much the only one that was open. But now NBC is going to be opening a new sports channel in the next year, I think. It's either NBC or Fox, or actually it might be, no, NBC already has a sports station. Anyways, I wonder, with that recent rise in NBC Sports, we might see SmackDown move there on Friday night, or we might see it move off of Sci-Fi, but I think they're going to be kind of content with it on Sci-Fi. I mean, it's not getting bad ratings on Sci-Fi, and like you said, there really isn't a problem with it, other than it's not really a wrestling network.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should also do more promotion for the show on Raw. I understand they advertise matches sometimes that sometimes don't even end up happening, but, I mean, I think if they had more promotion for the show on Raw, I think that could also play a factor in the ratings for SmackDown. Maybe it's Sci-Fi, maybe it's the Friday night thing. There might be a number of factors why I think the ratings that it is. I mean, like you said, they're not terrible ratings. They could be much worse, but the ratings in recent weeks, which have showed that they've gotten the lowest ratings of the year up to this point, it's not a good sign. It's definitely not the quality either, because the quality of the show has been flourishing in recent months. So it's got to be either it's Friday night or on Sci-Fi or not enough promotion. Whatever it is, WWE's got to change its strategy soon, because it's a great show. More people should be watching it, and it should be either on a better network, better time slot, but they got to change it up soon and start experimenting with it.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find a list of all the shows that are under NBC. Oh, here we go. I'm just kind of looking at some of these channels, and there really isn't a better option than Sci-Fi unless they wanted to move to USA. There's Sci-Fi, Chiller, Clue. I haven't even heard of a couple of these. There's E Channel, G4, USA, Universal, HD, Universal Cable Productions, Bravo, Oxygen, Stats, Telemundo, PBS Kids. Yeah, that'd be a great channel. Daily Candy, Fandango. Oh, there's a ticket service. Okay, well, anyways, back from that random list of subsidiaries of NBC, I think really Sci-Fi is the best option. There isn't any other big channel that would do well with an WWE program other than USA.
No, I guess so. And also it's a fact that the Sci-Fi executives or whoever's in charge or whatever, it's their highest rated show on the channel. They show that in their did you know things all the time, which isn't surprising. I mean, it's Sci-Fi. And again, nothing against Sci-Fi, but SmackDown, probably, I would assume that SmackDown gets the highest ratings of all on the network. But a difference between that and TNA is that TNA, I think it gets high ratings for that for Spike TV, but not high enough ratings to the point where I think right now considering just getting it off the network completely. So they should be, they're kind of in trouble as far as having a home for TNA Impact. And they've been on Spike TV since Raw moved away from there in 2005. But as far as SmackDown goes too, I don't know what you can do with it. I don't know. I guess they trust Sci-Fi because ECW was on there for the longest time. But I don't know. I think moving it to USA would be the best option because USA has had success with Raw for years. And I think it would be a great asset to the USA Network.
I think it could, but they're not getting bad ratings right now. The wrestling's been flourishing as of late. Ratings will come around, or they won't. If WWE feels the need to move to USA, then I'm sure they can find a way to do it. I'm not sure how long the contract runs with Sci-Fi for SmackDown. I'm sure someone can find that. Someone who's listening right now would be able to find that, but there's really no need to move right now other than to get bigger ratings on USA. And right now, I think WWE's content with what they're getting for SmackDown on Friday night.
Well, if they were going to change networks, it would be as soon as October, because that's the month that they've always changed networks. Back in 2008, when they went to the CW network, and they went to my network, TV9, was that the next one, or was that before that?
I thought that was the same one to CW. Isn't that
been I think it moved to the CW. Yeah, I think so, or whatever it was. But yeah, they moved in 2010 to the Sci-Fi network, and they were getting terrible ratings for SmackDown in 2010. I don't know if it was the network itself, or because the quality of the show back in 2010 was horrendous, so maybe that played a factor in it too. But, I mean, right now the ratings are good. Maybe you can switch up a champ. I mean, Del Rio's been the world champion of SmackDown for the longest time, for a majority of 2013, and maybe that's why the SmackDown ratings are as high as they should be. I don't know. When Dolph Ziggler was champion, he wasn't even on the show when they got high ratings, so I don't even know when he was World Heavyweight Champion. So I don't know how you handle that situation. Maybe when they change the championship to someone like, Dolph Ziggler, maybe you give D-Bry the world title and you have him run SmackDown for a few months and see what happens. Because remember, they got highest ratings in late 2011 when Mark Henry, of all people, was world champion. When Mark Henry was champion, they got some of their highest ratings to date in the last few years. So maybe change the championship could be their key to getting higher ratings. Maybe that's another factor as well.
Yeah, that could be. And I actually found the answer. The contract with Sci-Fi expires at the end of September this year, and it's July, still no word on whether they're going to extend the contract, and maybe they do have something in mind for moving the show, but like I said, it'd be nice if they move it. I don't see the need to do it right now, especially since everything is so readily available, whether it's on recordings or online or any other forms of getting it online, where it doesn't matter too much what channel it's on. And maybe I'm just taking out a small sample size of the IWC, but I think with everyone getting more adept with technology, that the channel that a show is on, outside of it being a channel that actually no one has, it really doesn't matter since there's so many other alternate ways to get access to the show.
Yeah, exactly. There's a number of things they can change, and hopefully they take them under consideration in coming months as their contract with Sci-Fi comes to an end.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So if they can move it to USA, that'd be cool, but I'm content with it on Sci-Fi since I never watch it live anyway, so it doesn't matter to me where it goes. But anyways, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about the Money in the Bank matches. We got some hype for it this past week, and now we have everyone who's going to be in the Money in the Bank matches, with the Raw matches, CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, Sheamus, Christian, Kane, and RVD. And this match is for a WWE Championship contract, which isn't necessarily a Money in the Bank contract, where, if I'm understanding it correctly, it isn't a Money in the Bank contract. You just get an opportunity for a match. Is that correct?
What was that?
Never mind. I just completely blanked on that, so never mind. But there's a lot of veterans from the Money in the Bank match for Money in the Bank matches in the past in this Raw Money in the Bank match. And this is almost like an all-star match.
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, every single competitor has been in a Money in the Bank ladder match before. 4 out of 7 of them have won the Money in the Bank ladder match before. And I mean, I think the difference between this match and last year, because I for one, was complaining about the concept of including former world champions in one match. And I mean, again, that was considering the fact that the people in that match last year were The Big Show, Kane, John Cena, and Jericho. Not really an all-stars lineup. I mean, the match was entertaining. They even threw in The Miz in there in an attempt to make the match better than it actually was. But that was this match, and one can only imagine how this match is going to turn out. I have faith that this is might very well be the best Money in the Bank ladder match we have ever seen. We've had some great ones since 2005, since the initial one at WrestleMania 21, but this, by far, hands down, is the most stacked Money in the Bank ladder match we have ever had up to this point. Got Rob Van Dam of all making his return to the WWE in this match. That alone makes this match important. Could have had other guys from NXT in there and just thrown Rob Van Dam. That would have been a must-see match simply because he's making his return to WWE on that night. And not only that, you have CM Punk, a 2-time Money in the Bank winner. Daniel Bryan is the top candidate at this point in time to win the match. No problem with that. They intend to get him a run with the WWE title at some point sooner rather than later. You've got Christian in there, Christian Thorne, their great man from Money in the Bank 2011. Fast forward 2 years later, they're both in the All-Stars ladder match. Sheamus, another Money in the Bank guy who was in the match 2 years ago, who I also think can have a nice role in the matchup. Shane, another Money in the Bank ladder match veteran, who I believe has been in 7 MITB matches since 2005. So there's a lot to love about this matchup. The match could go a lot of different ways. Christian, could he get his one more match? Orton hasn't held a world championship since late 2011. Sheamus hasn't held a world title since last year. Could Rob Van Dam return to the company and win the Money in the Bank ladder match upon his return? Could Punk win the WWE title, then defend against Lesnar at SummerSlam? The possibilities are endless. Loving this match. The build could be better. I mean, they can't do all that much with it since every single guy is a face, which I found interesting. But could be an amazing match nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm looking at the winners of this, it's easy to take you out who I don't think are going to win. For instance, I don't think CM Punk is going to win. He built himself up over 444 days as a threat without his title. Before he won back in 2011, 2012, he was a bigger star. He needed the title sometimes to make him look like a legitimate threat. Now he's this huge main event player who's going to go up against John Cena and The Rock and beaten them. So I don't think Punk is going to win. Randy Orton I could see winning, but I really don't think so because I just don't see a path for him to take after winning the title. Sheamus, same story, but and same with Kane. The three I think have the greatest chance of winning are Rob Van Dam, Christian, and Daniel Bryan. Now, if they have Rob Van Dam come back, win the contract in his first night back to WWE, I'm not sure how I feel about that. I like Rob Van Dam a lot, but I think he needs to get himself reacquainted with the WWE a bit before he comes back and is a near certain WWE champion. Christian comes back, I'd like him to win the contract, but the person I want most to win is Daniel Bryan. I think this is this will be the hurdle, the final hurdle for Daniel Bryan to pass before he wins the WWE title, which I think he's destined for. I think that's what they've got in plan for him. Ever since they brought him on NXT back in 2010, we've watched him rise from this internet darling, but barely anyone outside of the internet knew who he was, to this guy who the whole arena is cheering for him as he's won the mid-card championships, as he won the World Heavyweight Championship. It's his time. this is the time for Daniel Bryan. I'm really excited to see him as a WWE champion.
One thing that's been rumored in the last few months, even before this match was even announced, was a top marquee match for SummerSlam, and that was John Cena versus Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship. Now, the possibility of that match happening became even stronger after this match was announced, the All-Stars Money in the Bank ladder match. Daniel Bryan is by far the favorite to win this match. I have nothing to complain about that. Daniel Bryan, yes, he has won the match before back in 2011. But this is a WWE title. It's a little bit different. He contended for the WWE title, ironically enough, at last year's Money in the Bank pay-per-view. So getting his first WWE title shot almost exactly a year later, which is great to see. One thing I'm worried of is that they will have him cash in against John Cena, which is fine and all. But the way that the report was rumored, that it was kind of worded, was that it was going to be a babyface versus babyface matchup. In all honesty, I do not see that happening. The way they've been foreshadowing Daniel Bryan's heel turn in recent weeks, which I think is a terrible idea given how over he is right now. Like you just said, the entire arena is cheering for this guy, and they're throwing that all away in favor of a Daniel Bryan heel turn. I mean, regardless, we've had so many top faces in the company right now. You've got Jericho, Ziggler, Bryan, Punk, Kane, Orton, Sheamus, RVD's coming back. We have so many top faces in WWE right now. I understand you need to turn somebody heel. Why can't that be someone like Randy Orton, who's been faced for the longest time? Daniel Bryan, we've seen him heel before. I understand I was very, very down on Daniel Bryan's heel turn early last year, and it ended up being very entertaining. Daniel Bryan can pull off an entertaining heel, but he is so over right now. Why would you throw that all away by turning him heel? So, and I don't understand that, but I do see him with cashing in on John Cena in order to fully turn heel. And that's the same thing that it did in 2011, but I think it'd just be a repeat and just a recycle of what they did with the whole D. Bryan Big Show feud in 2012. But if that's what it takes to get Daniel Bryan in the WWE title picture and beating with John Cena and get some amazing matches out of that feud, then I guess I'm all for it then.
See, with Daniel Bryan, I want a face-versus-face match with John Cena. You want to solidify him as a big champion? You have Daniel Bryan schedule a match in advance for SummerSlam and don't cash it in because that fits in well with his character. You have him say babyface, eat a babyface, John Cena, have John Cena put him over, and suddenly Daniel Bryan is at the top with the WWE Championship. I think that's the best route that WWE can take with Daniel Bryan if they are playing on him winning Money in the Bank.
Yeah, they can't do the whole opportune moment thing that they've done so many times before. He did that in 2011 when he won it the first time, and that's how he turned heel in the first place, by cashing in on Big Show. I mean, granted, the crowd popped when he did it the first time because he's still babyface and he didn't turn heel until a few weeks later, but I think cashing in ahead of time is the true babyface form. Remember, only two people have done that in the past. Rob Van Dam, when he beat John Cena for the WWE title, and John Cena this last year. I mean, of course he failed, but you get the point, though. I think cashing in ahead of time and announcing it for SummerSlam would be fantastic. One problem with that is that I don't see the Mark Henry Cena feud wrapped up in the bank. It seems like it's only getting started, and I see a Money in the Bank. I see a rematch between Henry and Cena at SummerSlam. Maybe even a triple threat with Ryback, because I know there were reports of that as well. And I would love to see Cena versus Bryan at WrestleMania. Maybe even that, you just drag it on until then. I think that could definitely be his WrestleMania main event if you drag it on for that long. And I mean, then again, Daniel Bryan did announce the first time that he's going to cash in Mania, and he cashed in 3 months early. So who's going to take him seriously this time? And also, some people are saying that they want to see D-Bry pit Cena for the title clean as a babyface. Trust me, I would love to see that. I would love to see Cena tap out to Daniel Bryan. And when was the last time we ever saw John Cena tap out? It's easily been at least a decade since we've seen him tap out to anybody clean, or just tap out in general. So I don't see that happening. It would be awesome, but like you said, if you want to solidify a top star, you keep him babyface, you have him announcing, you have him announce the cash in beforehand, and you have him beat Cena for the WWE title. That's how you create a star. You do something similar to what the Punk versus Cena match from Money in the Bank 2 years ago when he beat him, not necessarily Clinton, did this pin Cena to win the WWE Championship. From that point forward, Punk was a star. He was a Punk. Punk was a star even before that, but they made a main eventer out of CM Punk, who reigned for WWE Champion for 434 days. So, yes, keeping him babyface, cashing in ahead of time, or, announcing it ahead of time, I think is the best bet. But like I said before, I have a very bad feeling they want to turn him heel so badly, which I hope they resist, but I do have a feeling they'll have him win and cash in at the opportune moment at SummerSlam and after Cena's match with Mark or whoever he faces at the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you raise an interesting point with Mark Henry. It's easy to forget about that and all the hype going into the ladder matches. There's still other feuds that need to wrap up for the world titles that need to be resolved before these feuds get underway, before the new feuds with the contracts get underway. And I really want Daniel Bryan to go the Rob Van Dam route, because if you remember, how over was Rob Van Dam after he beat Cena? I could see a
incredibly
situation with Daniel Bryan. Yeah, that's what I'm saying is, I could see Daniel Bryan being in that same situation. Suddenly you've got an extremely popular WWE champion that every single person is going to be behind. And we sometimes saw that with Punk, but not after he turned heel. We don't see that with Cena. Half the crowds are against him. I want to see, and it would complete the underdog story. Starts in the minor leagues, comes up, and wins the WWE Championship, and he's going to have the whole crowd behind him. I want to see that again. That's something we really haven't seen since, oh my goodness. I'm trying to think of last time someone like that won the WWE Championship, almost a Rob Van Dam or an Eddie Guerrero type title victory.
Well, he's also one of those kind of guys that's a genuine guy. He built himself up. He started in NXT, like you said, worked his way through the mid card, main evented over on SmackDown, now main eventing over on Monday Night Raw. He beat Randy Orton clean a few weeks ago. So I would like to think, in the main event of Raw, no less. So I would like to think that was just testing the waters for maybe how he might do if he was to win the WWE title and how the ratings might be. That's another thing, too. Do they have faith in Daniel Bryan to be a star on Raw and in the program? Granted, Punk didn't get a lot of high ratings in his first half of his reign for WWE Champion. People were concerned, oh, they're going to pull the plug on this quite early. They're just going to throw it all away just a month after he won it, and he didn't. He was champion for over a year. So I would love to see something along the lines of that with Daniel Bryan, but do I think he could be the next top star of WWE? Could he be the next John Cena? Probably not at this point in time, but I do think he could be a guy that could lead the company into something new. Like I said before, he's a genuine guy, doesn't have any dirty backgrounds, he's not on any drugs or anything as far as we know. He just seems like the kind of guy that the fans can relate to. Like you said, the crowds are almost 100% for this guy. They're cheering for him every single time with just two simple words, yes and no. He got that over following WrestleMania 28. So this is a guy that I could definitely see leading the company into some sort of new generation, because this guy is just great with kids. He's great with, the IWC, of course, and just great with the WWE audience in general. So he should be the guy that should be leading Raw as its WWE champion. Will he sell more T-shirts and merchandise than John Cena? Probably not as immediately as many people think. Maybe not at all. But I do think he could be the next biggest star in WWE with a great attitude, genuine guy, great in-ring skills, and great, connectability with the WWE audience.
Yeah, and I don't think that he'll ever be the top star or the face of the company. I could see him being the three, like back when Randy Orton and John Cena were the one and two, and then you had different people vying for the three. CM Punk was there for a while. Undertaker was there when he was ruling on SmackDown before they took him off. Shawn Michaels had that in the twilight of his career. I think Daniel Bryan could be a very solid three, if you know what I mean. I don't think he'll ever be the face of the company, no. But I think there's always that guy who the fans always love, he's always a threat to win the title, but he's always in important matches, and I think that's who Daniel Bryan could be, and it all starts in 8 days.
Exactly. I think he can be the number three babyface of the company, or just three guy overall, if they intend to turn him heel, behind Cena and Punk. I think Randy Orton and Sheamus haven't been doing a lot as of late. Sheamus is kind of in that number three spot for the longest time last year when he was the reigning world champion for a solid 6 months. But with Daniel Bryan slowly rising up in the ranks and getting as strong as the reactions as he is, I could definitely see him as the number three guy in the company right behind Punk and Cena.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yes. You know, obviously the number one, Punk the two, and Bryan the three, I think that's what it could eventually become. And usually the number two is the heel, and I'm not even sure what Punk is right now, if he's a face or a heel. He's almost reached Jericho status with that, whether he's face or a heel, because every time Jericho comes back, he can do whatever he wants, and people are so good to cheer for him. Nobody knows whether he's a face or a heel.
Yeah, I would say Punk's a face right now, but like you said, it's kind of hard to tell. Obviously, he's facing heel guys at the moment, but he still gets strong reactions. He's going to be a face nonetheless. I mean, when he was a heel, after his heel turn last year, when he turned heel on The Rock, he tried everything in the book to get himself over as a heel. He insulted the WWE Universe, and of course that's every heel's trick, but this guy was just so liked by the fans, still got cheered by people regardless, so he had to go above and beyond to get booed by the WWE Universe, because he's so genuinely adored by most of the fans in most arenas, so that's why the heel turn, I mean, as great as it was, he works amazing as a heel, he works much better as a heel than he does as a face, but the reactions don't say that. The reactions that he basically scream babyface. So that's why they had to opt him to turn babyface at Payback. But, obviously I guess what you mean with how he's in the fence at the moment, given his current angle with Paul Heyman. But another guy, too, who's slowly rising up in the ranks in WWE, Dolph Ziggler. He's the guy that's kind of on the fence. He attacked Jericho a few weeks ago, but he's also showed signs of being a babyface. He's the guy that's kind of slowly transitioning into another top role, too, which I love to see. He has yet to act as a babyface in his WWE career. So I like the way that they're kind of transitioning Ziggler as well.
Yeah, and I think once the days of Cena and Punk pass, it'll be Ziggler in that two spot. He'll be that main heel, and then that number one spot will be up for grabs when Cena retires in 7 to 10 years. I can't remember he's in his late 30s, I believe Cena is. But anyways, Ziggler has a great future ahead of him. Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, there's lots of young stars that we're really going to start seeing in the next couple of years climb through the ranks. I mean, we were talking about a year ago, Daniel Bryan winning the World Heavyweight Championship, and he's in how close he was to becoming the WWE champion, and well, now he may be 8 days away.
Exactly, and I think if they had kept him in the main event scene, would have gotten old rather quickly, but his little thing with Kane and Team Hell No was very, very entertaining. That helped him get him over even more with the WWE Universe, despite being a heel, because remember, at this point, Sam Laster, he was still a heel when feuding with CM Punk, and when he went into the tag team division with Kane, he was still technically a heel, but they had to turn him face eventually because he was getting cheered so massively. So hopefully they keep, you know, a steady direction with him too. It seems like he also, along with Punk and Ziggler, he is also a tweener at the moment. I would say there's a lot of guys in WWE at the moment. They're kind of on the fence. I think that's a good thing. I think we've discussed it before. But there's a lot of guys in the company that get mixed reactions, not kind of seen a mixed reactions, but kind of position both heel and face. I think it's cool that they don't have clear cut baby faces and heels for most guys. They can kind of pick and choose, and depending on the reactions that they get or what they do. So I think that's cool. And I think if they continue to evolve that, rather than having this guy be 100% baby face and 100% heel, you kind of have the fans decide who they want to cheer for. And that's kind of a prime example for Bryan, Ziggler, and Punk.
Yeah, and if you look back to the Attitude Era, which was really the birth of snark with the fans was when all the people started cheering for the heels because, well, they were the ones bringing fresher content, and that's kind of what we're starting to see here. People are cheering for the heels who are talented, whether they're face or heel, and we see that with Ziggler, we saw that with Daniel Bryan. All of them are really extremely over that their tweener status, and we saw back in the Attitude Era where the tweener was really born was he would cheer Stone Cold even though he was a heel. They would cheer The Rock even when he was a heel. They cheered The Undertaker when he was a heel. And I think we're starting to see that again where people are cheering the talented people, whether they're heels or faces.
Then also in addition to the fact that as strong of a babyface side that we do have right now, with Ziggler, Punk, we have Bryan, and like you said, it seems like the IWC, I mean, we've always been cheering for the heels for the longest time, and that was kind of the, that started in the Attitude Era, like you just mentioned, but it also kind of seems like right now, I don't know if this is just me, but it seems like the WWE is starting to listen to the fans. CM Punk, like I said before, has been massively cheered for years on end, especially starting down in his pipe bomb days. 2 years ago when he started that whole storyline, he started getting massively cheered, so they opted to turn him babyface. Dolph Ziggler has been getting babyface reactions for the longest time now. This guy's been getting babyface reactions for years on end, so it was only a matter of time before they turned him babyface. I know he works better as a heel, but the crowd reactions don't lie. Daniel Bryan, another guy, hopefully if they keep him babyface, they can keep him in a nice direction. Cody Rhodes, another guy who's been getting cheers, who's been getting sporadic cheers for in recent years now. It seems like they're going, you know, in a direction where they're turning him babyface too, in a split of Team Rhodes color after Money in the Bank, which I've been pulling for the longest time now. So I think there's a thing in WWE now where they're starting to listen to the fans. Whereas on the heel side, I think they could use a bit of work, which is why I want to see Randy Orton turn heel and kind of help the heel side a little bit. He's with Punk now a face, and Ziggler now a face, Jericho on the face side, all those guys. Who do we have as a heel? I mean, right now we have Del Rio as world champion. He seems to be more entertaining. I'll give him credit in that department. He seems to be getting actual heat this time around, the most heat he's gotten in a long time. He's no longer as stale as he once was last fall when we were talking about a potential face turn for him. So that's good. Maybe he'll get stale after he loses the world title. I don't know. But right now he's entertaining. Mark Henry's entertaining too. We have the Shield, who have kind of dropped down to the upper mid card with the U.S. and tag team titles. But other than them, who do we have? I mean, we have Brock Lesnar. He comes back every once in a while. Big Show isn't on television right now. Swagger really isn't in the any top tier storylines right now. And it really shows, too, because if you look at the two Money in the Bank ladder matches, you look at the WWE title one, All Faces, look at the star power in that matchup. You have seven top faces who could all be easily contending for the WWE title tomorrow. And you look at the SmackDown side, how many of those guys have been in the main event in recent months? Barely any of them. You got Swagger, Barrett, Rhodes, Sandow, Fandango, Dean Ambrose. There's so much star power in the Raw side that it shows that for the heels, the all-heel Money in the Bank SmackDown, that WWE has to do some work in building up new heels. All of those guys have tremendous potential to be top heels. It's just the WWE to start building them now. Wade Barrett is another guy who I believe should win the Money in the Bank and go on to main event SmackDown as a top heel for the Blue Brand. He deserved to be world champion a long time ago. You know, guys like Dean Ambrose, Cody Rhodes, Antonio Cesaro, all these guys can be great heels. WWE just has to start booking them correctly.
Yeah, and you were talking about the heels up at Del Rio. You brought up something that I completely forgot to mention. Ricardo Rodriguez earlier this week suspended for 30 days for violating the wellness policy. So Alberto Del Rio is going to be without Ricardo Rodriguez as his announcer. Does this do anything to harm him or help him, or what does it do to Del Rio?
Well, that was a primary example this past week, as Ricardo was neither on Raw nor SmackDown, because obviously his suspension was effective on Tuesday. I mean, they wrote off on storyline, or out of storyline last SmackDown, or last Friday night on SmackDown, 8 days ago, they had him thrown through a table. So I don't know if that was planned, or knew about the suspension, or what, but whatever it was, it worked, because this past week he was equally as entertaining as he was even before the suspension. And I also think one thing, too, you know, dating back to a year ago and even before that, Ricardo Rodriguez was maybe one of the reasons I love Ricardo, and he's a very lovable character. So he was one of the reasons why Del Rio was cheered as heavily as he was when he was a babyface. I mean, he was stale as hell. But Ricardo Rodriguez is one of the reasons why he's getting cheered, because he's a great asset. But with him out of the equation for right now, I don't think it will hinder Del Rio. You won't see Ricardo get involved in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I think Del Rio is more than capable of getting heat all by himself. Ricardo got him more sympathy than it did heat. So I think it's a nice test for Del Rio to see if he can get just as much heat without Rodriguez as he did with. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this goes down in coming weeks. This past week he was great, so maybe he'll continue to do so without Rodriguez going forward. Someone mentioned maybe you haven't come back and maybe feud with Del Rio. I don't see that happening, but they've been together for 3 years now, so maybe it is time to split them up. I don't know. But even still, I think Ricardo works better as a face when Del Rio works better as a heel. So it's going to be interesting to see how Del Rio fares without him for the next month.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting in what they decide to do with Ricardo Rodriguez, because if Del Rio prospers without him, well, are they going to have Rodriguez come back and be a wrestler? Are they? He's not going to be an announcer, because there's really no one else who he can announce for. They'd have to have him be a wrestler, or else they're really going to have no need for him unless they wanted to make him a manager or something.
Exactly. And while he was a babyface, too, when he would announce Alberto Del Rio's name, they would have, you know, show clips. You know, they would get shots of people in the crowd saying Del Rio's name with Ricardo. And he's still doing that, obviously, while still a heel. So I don't think that's the smartest thing for him to be doing that, to be dragging out the O's. I know he's been doing it for years, but while he was a babyface, people would say it with him. Now that he's still doing it, people are still saying it with him, which is something that you don't want when he's a heel. So with that being said, now that they're not doing the car thing anymore, I mean, it was cool while it lasted, but it was a gimmick that ran its course, so I'm glad they didn't go back to that. The bucket now, which was a stupid gimmick to begin with, I'm glad they kind of use that now as a weapon. So at least that makes sense now, too. But I think getting rid of Ricardo would be fine. I mean, I guess he's a sympathy character, so maybe if you turn him babyface, he is an in-ring competitor. I know WWE portrays him as a guy with no talent, that he has no wrestling background whatsoever, but he does, and he's shown that in the past. So the Del Rio-Ricardo-Rodriguez feud, I would not be against. I don't know how you would go about it, with Del Rio being the current world champion, Ricardo being, you know, like an enhancement talent role at the moment. So I don't know how you would go about it, but maybe getting rid of Ricardo out of Alberto Del Rio's act could be a nice step in the right direction for Del Rio. But like I said before, we'll see how it, you know, only time will tell how Del Rio does without him for the next month.
Now, do you think that if they do decide to have Del Rio and Ricardo Rodriguez feud, that they might take Rodriguez in a way that TNA took Joseph Park, where he seems to win matches almost in spite of himself?
I think that could be cool. I mean, the whole Joseph Park Abyss thing, I've loved that angle since they started it up last year. The way that Chris Park, I think that's Abyss's real name, he acts so green in the ring. It's just extremely entertaining. So, and Ricardo Rodriguez is also entertaining as well. So I think you bring up a very good point, a very good comparison in Joseph Park and Ricardo Rodriguez. So if we were to have that happen and maybe have Ricardo pull up an upset victory over Del Rio at some point, I think that'd be great. I mean, he gets great reactions by himself without Del Rio. So, yeah, I think that can be cool, just having him act green in a match against Del Rio. I think that could be very cool.
Yeah, definitely. So, one thing more before we go out there, let's talk a little bit about the SmackDown Money in the Bank match. We talked a bunch about the Raw Money in the Bank match. We had Wade Barrett, Cody Rhodes, Damian Sandow, Dean Ambrose, Fandango, Jack Swagger, and Antonio Cesaro in the SmackDown Money in the Bank match for the World Heavyweight Championship. One thing we talked about a few weeks ago was if Dean Ambrose was in the Money in the Bank match, what kind of role the Shield is going to play.
Well, with them currently facing the Usos for the tag team titles, at least they have a role on the show. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know if we talk about this on this show or my other show, but someone mentioned that it would be illogical to have Dean Ambrose in the Money in the Bank and not have Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns interfere and then have him not win. So I think it was JCD who mentioned that when we brought it up a few weeks ago. But even still, I think that you could still do that, maybe have the Shield take out everyone in the match. You don't have to necessarily Dean Ambrose win. I know there's a lot of people pulling for that, but I don't see the point in that happening. I understand The Miz won the Money in the Bank a few years ago while United States champion, so it's not out of the question. But I don't think he needs it right now. We all know that he, and maybe even Seth Rollins too, will be future world champions at some point. Just not right now. I don't think they need that right now. I mean, they could tease tension amongst the members. They just don't need it right now. So they could have him in the match and have the Shield interfere, or maybe not. Maybe they don't want to interfere because they have the briefcase for themselves and they wish they were in the matchup. We don't know. But it's going to be interesting to see how what role they play at the event and in the match itself.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if they did not interfere in some way in the match, because it's another disqualification match. They can't kick them out. I mean, every single match we have a manager or a valet, someone interfering in the match, and I'm certain that the Shield can interfere in some way.
More than likely they will. But also one question, I've always wondered this. What if Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns went up and they grabbed the briefcase? What would happen? Would they be in possession of the Money in the Bank briefcase, or would they have to wait until one of the competitors won it?
Well, I think it's the same situation as when Vicky Guerrero or Ricardo Rodriguez, or was it AJ last year? Yeah, I think it was AJ. When they went up and tried to get the title, I think it's just if they go up and get it, they can give it to whoever grabs it first from the participants in the match. And so if Seth Rollins or Roman Reigns were to grab it and then give it to Dean Ambrose, he would be the winner. So I don't think they have any chance of winning that, although that could be something that could be addressed in this pay-per-view.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Also the fact that in the matchup we have two alliances. We have the Rhodes Scholars, who have been teasing tension amongst in recent weeks, which I love, because like I said before, I've been pulling for their split for months now. I mean, they were a great team in the beginning, but I think it's time to split them up. I think Cody Rhodes could flourish as a babyface. We have yet to see him as a babyface in the last 5 years, so turning him now I think would be great. We also have another alliance in the returning Jack Swagger and Antonio Cesaro. So having those two guys go against one another, and Zeb Coulter mentioned in recent promos and whatnot that one of those guys will be winning the Money in the Bank ladder match. So what if they both went up and they both grab the briefcase? I think obviously they would wait until one of the other grab the briefcase, but it teases tension. So it's going to be interesting to see if they both go for it and who goes against one another. So that's one of the best parts about the Money in the Bank ladder match. There is no alliances. They're going to have to go against one another eventually. So that's why I'm looking forward to this match, because we're going to have to see Cesaro versus Swagger and Rhodes versus Sandow at some point in the match.
Exactly. And one thing with SmackDown Money in the Bank match really differs from the Raw is the Raw has a clear-cut favorite, and that's Daniel Bryan, without the chances of Christian and Sheamus winning it. Whereas SmackDown really doesn't have anyone who's a clear-cut favorite, all so many of these people could come out and win it. Well, except for maybe Fandango.
Some people are even saying Fandango might win it. I mean, it's very far-fetched, but like you said, everyone in this matchup has a scenario to win the matchup. The only person I would not want to see, like you said, is Fandango. Swagger, too, I mean, he's won the Money in the Bank ladder match before. He's a former world champion. He was in one of the main events of WrestleMania this year, so I don't want to see him win it. But everyone else, all the other five competitors, Cesaro, Ambrose, like I said before, a little too soon, but I wouldn't be against it if he won. Ambrose, Cesaro, Sandow, Rhodes, and Barrett. Barrett is my hands down pick to win this matchup. I think he's more than ready to become Mr. Money and World Champion sooner rather than later. I think has a great chance of this as well. And also the fact, it's a common fact that heel versus heel matches are very awkward most of the time. We saw that this past week with Rhodes versus Cesaro, but you've got to keep in mind that this event is going to be taking place in Philadelphia, a very smart crowd, should I say, a very wrestling-oriented audience. So they're going to know, they're going to cheer for these people regardless. So it's going to be a great matchup. The SmackDown ladder matches always stole the show at the Money in the Bank event 2010, 2011, and 2012 respectively. So will the same be said for this year? It remains to be seen, but if it kicked off the show, it could be one hell of a matchup given the talent involved. And like you said, it's unpredictable as ever because almost every guy in this matchup has an equal chance of winning it.
Definitely. So I'm thinking it's either going to be Barrett or Rhodes. Both of those guys have won the Intercontinental Championship, United States Champion, and all that jazz. So I don't know what one of those two is going to win. I'm leaning towards Wade Barrett, but I could see Rose win it, and I could even see Damien Sandow, or even Dean Ambrose win it. You give a world title to the Shield, and that would be huge for the stable. It's been forever since we've seen a stable hold a world title. I mean, of course, Punk was chasing the WWE Championship with the New Nexus, but as soon as he got big, the New Nexus pretty much died. I'd love to see a stable with a world championship.
Yeah, definitely. And like I said before, too, you could either take that route or take the route that the three members are fighting over the briefcase and teases tension. But then again, I would rather see your scenario because I don't think the Shield should break up anytime soon. But yeah, Ambrose versus Dolph Ziggler, if he cashes in or if he ends up winning back the world title, whether it be at Money in the Bank or SummerSlam or whatever it may be, Ambrose versus Ziggler is going to be a marquee matchup and a hell of a contest given the two competitors involved. So yeah, I would love to see that. Ambrose, I think, it could be ready to become world champion. I just think that there are other guys in the matchup that could use the momentum at the moment. Some people were mentioning how Ambrose should not win this matchup and he should just focus on the U.S. title. I agree with that, and he should. But like I said before, I would not be against him winning. I would much rather see, however, someone like Barrett win, who has been directionless for months now, who could really, really benefit from winning the briefcase and eventually the World Heavyweight Championship.
Exactly, and I think with SmackDown briefcase, it's not going to be something where they're going to challenge for the title a month later. It's going to be a situation where they're going to have to build, them up a bit more, for like they did with Daniel Bryan before he won the World Heavyweight Championship. They're going to have to build them up a bit to get them to World Heavyweight Championship status now that they asserted them as a threat.
Exactly, and that's what they did with Dolph Ziggler last year, as you mentioned. And they've always had somebody cash in the briefcase almost immediately. Remember, last year they had John Cena. The year before, they had Del Rio at SummerSlam. And the year before that, they had Kane the night of the Money in the Bank event. So they've never really had two people carry the briefcase for more than a month. Usually it's only one person. Most of the time it's the SmackDown guy carrying it for months on end before finally cashing in to win that world championship to finally build them up to meet them in the scene. So, I'm looking forward to that in coming months, and hopefully they do that with someone like Barrett, who could, like I said before, is ready for the world title. You only need maybe a feud or two before winning the World Heavyweight Championship. Maybe a feud with Orton, or not Orton again, we've seen that a million times, or Barrett versus Sheamus, or Barrett versus Bryan, and then having cashing to win the world championship by year's end. I would love to see that with someone like Barrett or whoever they have win the matchup, whether it be Ambrose or Cesaro or whoever else is in the matchup. Rhodes, Sandow, like you mentioned before, Sandow's competing with Sheamus. Maybe that was just testing the waters for him to win the briefcase and become world champion. I think he's more than ready to. But, I'm content with whoever who wins here for the most part, and I'm looking forward to this match and the event overall.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that this time around, the SmackDown one will be quicker because Alberto Del Rio as world champion, Dolph Ziggler and all that, that's starting to get a bit old. I mean, the feud's still going pretty strong, but at this point, it could use some freshening up, and I think that's where we'll see the SmackDown winner come in. So where I could see them building up the person a bit more, I could see them pulling a Jack Swagger and cashing in 5 days later, or Kane cashing in that night, whereas John Cena and Mark Henry are still going to have work to do after this one, and I could see whoever wins the Raw Money in the Bank waiting for a couple of pay-per-views.
I hope it's not Jack Swagger who wins the briefcase, because I know there were talks of having that Swagger versus Ziggler versus Del Rio match in the ladder match for the world title from what was supposed to happen in Extreme Rules. I don't want to see that under the circumstance that Swagger is Mr. Money in the Bank. I want to see that match, just not under the circumstance that Swagger is Mr. Money in the Bank. So, yes, I do agree with you that the Ziggler-Del Rio feud should end in the foreseeable future. I do see it ending perhaps at SummerSlam rather than at Money in the Bank. I do see it being extended for at least one more month. But remember, this is a feud that's been going on for almost a year now. Remember, it was at Money in the Bank last year that Dolph Ziggler tried to cash in his blue briefcase on Sheamus, and Del Rio prevents him from doing so. This is a feud that has history dating back to next year, or I'm sorry, to last year. So hopefully they wrap up that feud relatively soon, and they have him, or whoever the SmackDown briefcase winner is, cash in and enter the world title picture.
Definitely, definitely. So, do you have anything else before we go off the air?
Nope, I think that's it.
All right, so you can follow me at SirBen_WE. You can check out my writing at WrestlingNebula.com, one of our sponsor sites. Also check out ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com and Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, who hosts us on Blog Talk Radio. And check us out next week as we take a look into WWE Money in the Bank and recap Raw going into the final days for the pay-per-view.
You guys can like me on Facebook at Graham GSM Matthews. Make sure to follow me on Twitter and now at @save_us_GSM. Check out my work on Bleacher Report at Graham GSM Matthews. Subscribe to me on YouTube at Teddy Biasi Priceless 9. Check out my website for all the WWE TNA rumors, recaps, and more at nextera_wrestling.weebly.com. Check out pw247.net every Wednesday night at 10 o'clock Eastern Time, 9 Central Time for my other wrestling radio talk show, Save at GSM. Make sure to check back at blogtalkradio.com/PWP Radio for more spoilers and other fantastic programs every single week. So make sure, thanks for watching, guys. Make sure to check out next week, as Ben said before, for more Money to Make predictions and whatnot, and we'll see you then.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.